Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for watching and listening, wherever you're watching and listening from. We are going to talk about another devotional today from the Suffer Well devotional series. And the topic today is very relevant to what's going on today. And it's about oppression and understanding and seeing what our Creator has to say in the Bible about oppression and morally how to deal with it. And it's just a wonderful devotional. And I think it's going to help a lot of you today and a lot of people in this world today. And I promise you, if we followed the Bible patterns for dealing with oppression, we would not be able to be in the situation we are today. And so let me read the devotional, and then I'll get into the teaching upon this. But let me give you a little, not a warning, but a little, just to say, if you are or feel you're being oppressed today, you have to trust that our Creator allows all things to happen for a reason. And there's sometimes He lets us go through things for a reason, but we can never, ever, ever doubt that our Creator wants the best for us, and He's working for us for the good of all. But once we doubt that and we start taking things in our own hand, then we run into trouble. Let's read the devotional today. It's called Rescue Me. And it says, I sat and pondered the wickedness of this world and the hatred that one man could have towards another. I watched the oppressors. They have no love or compassion in their hearts. It was not enough to see people in pain. These kind desire to increase their pain. The wounded and hurting were their prey. They actually sought out the lame with the intent to disable further. How could it be? From where does the witness in the heart come? Or the wickedness in the heart come from? From where does the cruelty originate? I set out to do something about it. I talked with my eternal Father. I questioned Him on this way of man, this way that seems man has chosen. And He answered me, the heart, which is the center of intellect, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Many nights I pondered the wickedness of the hearts of men. I read Psalms of David that was able to relate to all that he felt about those who oppressed men. I often prayed like he did, rescue me, O Yahweh, from my evildoers, for treacherous, dishonest, and violent men. It was then the Spirit told me, I am doing exactly as you had hoped. I am rescuing you simply. You simply did not perceive that the one I was rescuing you from was yourself. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider it a plank in your own eye? Matthew 7:3. When I am done cleansing you, then you can look towards your oppressors. What can I say to you about this type of revelation? Only confession and repentance can flow from this place. Have mercy on me, O Mighty One, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalms 51:1-2. Cleanse me, purify me, and help me. And all I could say is, wow, wow. There's so many people pointing their finger to others that are oppressing them. But as the devotional said, and as the Bible says, the heart of all man is wicked. And the first person we need to think about who's oppressing ourselves is ourselves. Wow. And we think about the response of people today that are being oppressed and the same type of hatred that's being produced up inside them. The enemy is having a field day with people. Just having so much fun letting people kill people and all this other stuff and oppress one another. And that is not the answer according to a wonderful Creator. That is not the way to do things. And I know there are a lot of people that are being treated unjustified today and truly are oppressed. we must look within ourselves before we look within others. We must realize how we are acting towards our Creator before we can start questioning why others are acting a certain way towards us. You know, oppression is the topic of the day. Oppression is at the forefront, at the heart of everything today. People are going crazy today, and riots and everything else because of oppression. So this is a very important topic, of course, for us to read and talk about. And I pray that you would share this message with others and let others know, because this is really powerful. And it comes down to what I've been saying, and I said in previous teachings, everything comes down to believing that the Bible is 100% the word of our Creator. You read it, you get the instructions, you apply them, and you're blessed. But once you start doubting that the words of our Creator are real, once you start doubting that He cannot rescue us, once you start doubting that He doesn't love us, once you start doubting that His guidelines and instructions found in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, are not the best for you, once you start getting away from the commandments, the will of our wonderful Heavenly Father, that's when we oppress ourselves. So let's look at what the scriptures have to say about these things. In Zechariah 7, 9 and 10, or Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, it says, "This is what Yahweh, the Lord of heaven's army, says, judge fairly and show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, and the poor, and do not scam against each other." Proverbs, which is another word for wisdom, says, "Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him." And then Proverbs 22, verses 16 to 17 says, "A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showing gifts or by showering gifts on the rich will end up in poverty. Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instructions." Now, before we move forward here and we think about the devotional where it said, the first person we have to save ourselves from an oppressor is ourselves. We think about the idea of the poor, and if you're not helping someone that you have the opportunity to help from, help them, are you oppressing them? Well, I think of a situation today where there was a police officer that was literally murdering a man, and there are other police officers that did not step in to help. You know, are they as guilty as the man who murdered the man? And I ask you that question again. If you have the ability to help somebody, the poor, the widow, and you're not helping them, are you oppressing them? We must save each other from ourselves. It says, "Listen to the words of the wise and apply your heart to my instruction." Creator tells us in His word about who we're to help and not oppress. You know, our Creator cares for us. Let's look at what it says in Psalms 9, 7 to 10. "But Yahweh reigns forever, executing judgment from His throne. He will judge the world with justice and rule nations with fairness. Yahweh is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Yahweh, do not abandon those who search for you." We must search for our Creator in our oppression, but we must understand whoever our oppressor is, even from ourselves, if we seek out Him, He will save us, and we're going to see how He saves us first from ourselves through conviction, knowing when something is not right. Psalms 103, verses 5 and 6 says, "Who satisfies the mouth of with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles? Yahweh executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Psalms 146, verse 5 and 7 says, "But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in Yahweh their God. He made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. Yahweh frees the pioneers." Or He frees the prisoners. Yahweh frees the prisoners. Psalms 14, 6 says, "The wicked frustrate the plans of the oppressed, but Yahweh will protect His people." And I am telling you today, whatever situation you're in, if you are oppressed, which many of us are today, We must run to these instructions. It starts off, it says, tell our Creator about your situations. Psalm 74:21 says, do not let the oppressed retreat in disgrace. May the poor and needy praise your name. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And Psalms 55:22 says, give your burdens to Yahweh, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. We must remember that he is near and trust and believe that is true. It says all throughout the Psalms and the scriptures, don't take revenge. Don't get angry and try to, through anger, try to prove your point. Take it to Yahweh. Take it to Yahweh. And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. The answer isn't knocking down a statue. The answer is standing in front of the statue and praying and preaching. That's the answer. And I understand it's not fair and it's not right that no one should be glorified that would oppress another man. No one should be glorified that would promote things that our Creator doesn't promote. But I remember the situation in the scriptures where they stole the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in this room with all these other wicked statues. And what happened? Those other statues couldn't even stand up. They kept falling down. Yahweh's in control. He'll tumble the statues on his timing. He is near. Remember that. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am Yahweh, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold the righteous. Psalms 145:18 says, Yahweh is close to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. And Psalms 34:18 says, Yahweh is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those of a contrite spirit. He will help you, and we need to trust that. We need to trust that. It says in Psalms 46:1 that he helps us in times of trouble. Psalm 62:8 says he's our refuge. Hebrews 13:6 says he's my helper. Psalms 147 verse 3 says he heals the brokenhearted. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we must understand what the Bible says about oppression. We must not take matters into our own hand. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give this place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay it, saith Yahweh. And it says in Luke 6:27-28, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Can you imagine the outrage of people today if somebody got on the news or the media and said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. This shows us the confirmation of what it said today in the devotional about our greatest enemy being ourself. The greatest oppressor is ourself. For the scriptures say, and our Creator's word says, we are to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us and bless those who curse us and pray for those who mistreat you. That is the answer, according to the Holy Bible, the words of our Holy Creator, to the solution to everything. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I just can't even begin to think the outrage. If somebody said, this is the cure, instead of typing and painting all these murals all over the world, and instead of seeking revenge on ourselves, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Oh, the rage because of our evil, wicked hearts to seek our own justice and feel that we are the ones that can justify everything. You know, we need to get this. This is such an important thing. Our Creator is the one that will take it into his own hands and help us. We must cast our burdens amongst him. And this is what we remember. Casting your burdens amongst him and then learning how to deal with our own oppression of ourselves. And what we do and how we hold ourselves back. And it's not our fault, but that's how we're brought up in today's society. We're not brought up with this biblical idea of forgiveness and love. We're brought up with this idea of revenge and trying to take matters into our own hand and not trusting our Creator. The Bible says, cast your burdens among Him. Psalm 68, 19 to 20 says, Yahweh deserves praise. Day after day, He carries our burden. Yahweh is the God who delivers us. The God who delivers us, He can rescue us from everything, including death. That's what we need to understand. Psalms 138, 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. That's the heart we need. Yahweh's right hand, not our right hand. He says in Psalms 81, 6 and 7, I removed the burden from their shoulders and their hands were set free from the basket. I answered you out of a thunder cloud and I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Do you understand the Bible is a whole book of people that were being oppressed and freed when they relied on our Creator, but when they relied on themselves, they continued to allow the oppression to happen because our Creator simply said, give it to me and let me take it. And then ultimately He sends Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, to take that burden upon Himself and set us all free. Every single one of us has an opportunity to live in a promised land. But because we want to take things in our own hands and we want to take control of every situation and not trust our Creator, we continue to keep ourselves bound to the slavery of Egypt. Because we're not trusting our Creator and everything He asks us to do and tells us to do. Zephaniah 3:17 says, Yahweh is your Elohim. Among you, He is powerful. He will save you and take your joyful delight in you. He will renew you with His love. Be of good courage and stay and strengthen your heart. In Psalms 31:24. Give your burdens to Yahweh. And that's what I'm telling everyone out there today. Give your burdens to Him. Psalms 55:22 says, turn your burdens over to Yahweh and He will take care of you. He will never let a righteous person stumble. But we must give it to Him. Psalms 18:6 says, but in my distress, I cried out to Yahweh. Yes, I prayed to Yahweh for help. He heard me from His sanctuary. My cry to Him reached His ears. And Psalms 50:15 says, pray to me when you're in trouble and I will deliver you and I will honor you. But people aren't praying. They're not praying for their enemies. They're not loving their enemies. They're not praying to our Creator. They're not trusting our Creator. And this is why we run into this situation. I understand something happens to us. We want revenge. We want revenge. We want justice. But we seek justice according to our own understanding. And I tell you many times in these teachings, our own understanding is not the same as our Creator's understanding. Our understanding about love, our understanding about forgiveness, our understanding about oppression, our understanding about safety and refuge. We must learn what our Creator's understanding of these things are. And not worrying about anything, but leave the situation up to our Creator and let Him take care of it. He's our awesome refuge and our strength and our great help in times of distress. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. Psalms 9, verse 9 says, He will be a refuge for us in times of our trouble. But we must get it. But sometimes we have to understand the cause of our oppression is often our unconfessed sin. We must understand what repenting is and confessing our sin and dealing with ourselves. That's what we have to get to. Psalms 38, 4 and 6, my guilt overwhelms me. It's a burden too heavy for me to bear. You know, I walk around filled with grief. We must understand that it starts with us and we must be willing to confess and of our convictions. And we must be willing to, you know, forgive and then we must be able to just get right with our Creator and clean up this mess. And clean up this mess. And being a blessing to others and helping others. You know, but we need to focus on ourselves and look at these things that are happening within our own hearts and the things that we're putting on ourselves. You know, it says we need to trust in our Creator with all our hearts. You know, and we have to come to Him and confess our sins to Him instead of condemning others for theirs and looking at why are they oppressing me? We need to look at what we're doing too. And I'm not saying we're responsible for all the oppression that we're suffering from in our lives, but I'm saying we need to look at our Creator's way of handling things. And he says to run to him and just confess our sins and let him take care of those other people. It says in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us through him, through our wonderful Creator. But it has to start with the conviction, and then it has to start with the repentance. That's what people need to be doing. Conviction and repentance are not the same thing. Conviction is the beginning process of repentance. It's not the whole process. It's just the beginning. We must understand this. It says in John 8:8, says, and they which heard of it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Yeshua was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So many people wanted to stone them, but Yeshua said, what about your own sin? John 8:45-46 says, yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Who among you can convict me of any sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe in me? And Titus 1:9 says, hold unto the faithful the word according to the teaching of that he may be both able to encourage with sound teachings to convict those counteracting it. We must understand the conviction of our Creator. Instead of looking out our window or looking at the news and seeing some injustice being done and wanting to take revenge into our own hands, we must ask our Creator for mercy for all the stuff that we do and have done, and just help him to make us right and make things right. We must understand this and answer to this call. John 16:8 says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and Yahweh's righteousness of the coming judgment. We must believe this. We believe this. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us. We are convinced that we have a clear conscience and desire to live holy in every way. You know, it's the conviction that is not repentance, but it's a conviction that should produce the repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 and 10 says, now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed for repentance. John, 1 John 1:8-10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, and then it says in John 8:10-12, when Yeshua lifted himself up, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto the woman, where are those who are your accusers? You know, and then he spoke unto her, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Come and let us return to Yahweh, for he is torn, he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Hosea 6:1. We must, it says in Acts 11:18, when the hearts of these things, they held their peace and the glorified Yahweh, saying, there's no had no God. Also, the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance. The Bible says repentance brings refreshing. The restoration that comes through repentance is a beautiful thing, but it starts with our own conviction to understand this. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, for I restore the health unto those, and I will heal the wounds, says Yahweh. And that's what he gives us. That's what he gives us. It comes down to this, folks. Conviction versus condemnation. Conviction versus condemnation. That's love versus hate. That's Yahweh's way versus the world's ways. It says in John 12:47, for Yahweh did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He says, I take no pleasure during the death of wicked people. I only want them to change, which is repent from their wicked ways so they would live. And Revelation 12:10 says, now have come to the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our Elohim, the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night, that he be hurled down. We get this repentance. Repent, repent, repent. For it's repentance that brings refreshing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it says in Luke 5:32, I have not come to call righteous people, but sinners to repent. And that's what it all comes down to. Being willing to repent and letting Yahweh entrust him to take care of all this. John 6:44 says, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and the last day will raise them up. And 2 Timothy 2:25 says, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Yahweh may perhaps grant them repentance, leading a knowledge of truth. And Acts 5:31 says, Yahweh has exalted his right hand to the very man as our leader and savior in order to extend repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. It's a commandment of our Creator that all men should repent and confess our faith in Yeshua. Mark 1:15 says, the times promised by Yahweh have come at last. He announced, the kingdom of Yahweh is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. Believe in the good news. There's no forgiveness without repentance. We must repent. We must repent. Everyone can be forgiven. And we must realize that. If our Creator takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, we shouldn't either. We shouldn't, through justification, take justice in people being killed as well. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. Yahweh wants us, just like he says, he only wants us to change from our wicked ways so we would live. There's more satisfaction in a wicked person becoming righteous than a wicked person being killed. That's the heart of Yahweh. That's the spirit that he puts inside us. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, thinking about ourselves. And as we end off today, you know, when we think about oppression and everything that's going on with oppression and everything else, we must remember these things. You know, and just we must listen to our Creator and his words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my heart and my prayers go out to all of you that are oppressed and feel oppressed today, that Yahweh would lift you up and show you his word, and that you would run to him for your refuge, and you would feel the peace and the joy amongst this wicked, crazy world, and pray for one another, love one another, care for one another, and everything will be fine. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening today. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah, shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Desperate place, I need to share the weight, but I just don't know how to let it all pour out. And though I'm silent, my heart is crying, 'cause I was made to come to you. So I pray, can't say, right here in this moment.